Good afternoon. This is your senior producer for blackpolicy.org, Charles Ellison. And welcome to Ascent Perspectives, part of the blackpolicy.org audio blog network called Ascent Speaks. It is Friday, October the 6th. It is actually afternoon here in Washington, D.C. on the East Coast, but we have a very special guest on with us this afternoon. It's actually morning over there in California. We have online with us Lloyd Chapman. He is president and founder of the American Small Business League. He has actually been in that capacity and you know, just as being an advocate, a longtime advocate for small businesses here in the United States. He has been suing the government on behalf of small businesses for nearly 15 years now, and he joins us on the phone from California. How are you doing today?
Doing great, Charles. How are you doing?
Good, good. And thanks so much, Mr. Chapman, for you know, taking time out of your hectic schedule. I know you've being an advocate for small business. I know that's a rather intense job, and we want to talk about small business. I know it's not something that's being talked a lot with the upcoming midterm elections. It's not on the sort of the radar screen of hot button issues as far as what Congress is looking at. But it's definitely a very critical issue, to say the least. There are members, speaking of the midterm elections, there are members of Congress who are very interested in it and very deeply involved in the issue. Some of that interest to the benefit of small business, some of it not. But we have a situation here in terms of small business and the way the federal government sort of approaches small business in this country, and also the management of the Small Business Administration, where there are federal contracts, or a certain number of federal, or a certain percentage of federal contracts is supposed to be set aside for small businesses here in this country, particularly when you look at a lot of small businesses being owned by African Americans and also Latino Americans. And there are some loopholes that allow for some of this money to actually go to large businesses, some of your major businesses like a Halliburton or Northrop Grumman, McDonnell Douglas, et cetera. What's the extent? Describe this problem for us a little bit, and what that loophole is, and what's happening here as far as the small business landscape here in the country.
All right. Well, in 2002, I was in the computer business out here in California, and one afternoon we noticed that we lost a small business set aside contract to a Dutch company in Amsterdam called Berman. And we went to their website, and they said they had 28,000 employees in 26 countries. That's how I first got involved in it. And within a week, I'd found 600 of the biggest companies in the world on the SBA's database of small businesses. I called everybody in Washington you can imagine, and finally the General Accounting Office responded and subsequently launched an investigation based upon the information I provided them. And they found, I think it was 5,300 large businesses. And I've been working on it ever since and doing freedom of information requests and filing lawsuits. And basically what's happened is the Small Business Administration, the General Services Administration, the Pentagon, and the Office of Management and Budget over the last 10 to 15 years have developed a series of policies that make it perfectly legal for firms like Lockheed and Boeing and General Dynamics and Hewlett-Packard and Oracle and thousands of large businesses, in many cases Fortune 500 firms, to get federal small business contracts. And another thing that I think should be particularly concerning to African-American business owners is what's called the Alaska Native Corporation policy or program that the General Accounting Office found about 90 days ago to be, have quite a lot of fraud and abuse in it. And it's originally designed to help out firms owned by Alaska Native individuals. But the GAO found that actually a lot of large businesses had fronts that were masquerading as Alaska Native corporations. Mm-hmm. And all of our research shows that the federal government is reaching its minority business contracting goal, which is 5%, primarily with these Alaska Native corporations.
So you're saying that you have large businesses. Some of these businesses are supposed to be reputable or represent themselves as such. These are sort of leaders in the American economy, and so you're saying they're just blatantly misrepresenting themselves. They're just blatantly lying throughout the the process of securing a federal contract. Is that what you're saying, right? That they're just...
Well, you know, it's not what I'm saying. The SBA Inspector General's office is saying that, which I think has more credibility than I do with a lot of people. Also, the SBA Office of Advocacy says that. So in its 1995 semi-annual report to Congress, the SBA Inspector General found what they quoted as a particular fraudulent practice, which was that firms, large businesses, were misrepresenting themselves as small businesses. In 95, they looked at it again and filed what they called false certifications, where companies would falsely certify to be small businesses. Mm-hmm. And then the SBA Office of Advocacy conducted an investigation that was released in 2005 that found vendor deception was one of the reasons why large businesses get small business contracts. And I think that's very disturbing, but to me, in addition to the outright fraud, the fact that the agency that most people sort of view as there to help small businesses has worked with other federal agencies to develop policies to divert funds from small businesses and minority-owned companies, I think is even more troubling.
Now, what percentage of okay, Fred, I'm going to ask some sort of basic questions here. Like, what percentage of federal contracts is supposed to go to small businesses? What's the percentage or, you know, sort of the standard that government has to meet in terms of supporting small business?
Right now, it's supposed to be 23% of the total value of all prime contracts and subcontracts. Mm-hmm. And the SBA Office of Advocacy reported it in 2004 that was $119 billion. But all our research shows that probably about $100 billion of that actually went to large businesses.
$100 billion of the $119 billion.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now in what cases do you have where you have, okay, obviously you have these, from what you're describing here and also what the SBA Inspector General is looking at, you're having cases where the large businesses are misrepresenting themselves, but you also have other instances where you have companies that are, at least in terms of their structure or the way that they're organized, look like small businesses on paper. Are supposed to be small businesses, but they're subsidiaries of larger corporations. That's another way, too, that these large businesses are taking advantage of that loophole.
Exactly. They're taking a division and trying to make it appear that it's an individual small business. In reality, under federal law, you can't do that. That's illegal.
I'm a little confused here. Isn't there some sort of certification process for small, minority-owned or disadvantaged businesses? I mean, shouldn't there be some sort of strict or stringent certification or some sort of process that that essentially, that does due diligence? I mean, it's basically just basic due diligence on the part of the federal government to find out if indeed these businesses are large or small. I mean, isn't there some sort of certification process that takes place there?
There's a certification process for minority businesses,
mm-hmm.
which is largely ignored. And there's no certification process for small businesses. It's called self-certification.
Mm.
And once a large business appears on the government's database of small businesses, the government's position is that it was miscoding. It was an accident. So once they're on there, the government can go ahead and issue contracts for those companies that last up to 20 years.
Mm.
So it's just really ridiculous. When you look at it. And I will say, by the way, that I saw something out of the Pentagon where the Pentagon is trying to remove the current federal policy that requires minority-owned firms to be certified. And if that's removed, then you'll have a great deal of misrepresentation for minority businesses as you do with the small businesses.
So it's like a corporate... somewhat of a corporate honor code of some sort.
Yeah, by the way, you know what? It sounds kind of comical, but I actually saw that by an SBA spokesman. He called it the honor system.
Yeah.
And, of course, it doesn't look like it's working too well with large businesses getting $100 billion a year in contracts earmarked for small businesses. I think the honor system needs to be replaced with, something much more severe.
Now, what is Congress doing about that? First question is the SBA in the process of developing internal mechanisms to prevent that from happening?
Absolutely not. Quite the contrary. The SBA rolled out a series of proposed policies summer before last that would make it even worse. The SBA proposed giving an exemption to venture capital companies in small business size determination. That would allow some of the largest banks and financial institutions in the world to buy controlling interest in a small business, say 51%, and the federal government could report awards to that entity as small business contracts. Donna Manzullo, chair of the Senate Small Business Committee, proposed to repeal a longstanding federal policy that precludes franchises from being considered small businesses. And if that passes, any Fortune 500 corporation could take a division, spin it off as a franchise, and then the government could award awards to that division as a small business. Mm. And the third one that was included in the Senate SBA reauthorization bill would allow the SBA Administrator Stephen Preston to increase the definition of small businesses to a level that's 150 times higher than the average American small business. So not only are they not trying to fix it, they're actually passing what I call loopholes to make it even worse.
What is Congress doing about this now, beyond hearings? Is there any sort of legislation that's
very,
on?
Very, very little. Mm. The Senate passed a proposed piece of legislation that would require annual recertification where businesses would have to recertify annually. And, of course, the SBA Inspector General proposed that 3 years ago, and the SBA declined to adopt it. But when you look at the minimal proposal of annual recertification compared to these three gigantic loopholes they're proposing, if all four of those are adopted, the net effect is it will do 10 times more harm than the annual recertification will be able to remedy.
Small Business Administration, how relevant is it to the Bush administration? Obviously we're not seeing any sort of, from what you're describing here, any sort of movement on the part of the SBA to sort of control this phenomena. And what is the administration doing, or what is it planning to do about this particular problem?
All right. Before I answer that question, I want to state that I'm a Republican from Austin, Texas.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that the Bush administration intends to close the SBA before he's out of office and end all federal programs for women, minorities, disabled veterans, and small businesses. And I was trying to find a press release that I wrote, and I typed in some keywords. I typed in abolish SBA. Mm. And I was surprised that stories popped up from 1984 how during the Reagan administration, President Reagan tried to close the SBA twice. In fact, his budget director, David Stockman, called the SBA a billion-dollar rat hole. Mm. And I found some news clips from Vanderbilt University where David Stockman was at congressional hearings talking about closing the SBA. Republicans tried again in 95 and 96 to propose legislation to close the SBA. And when President Bush took office, one of the first things he did was take the SBA administrator off of the cabinet. And he's cut the SBA budget for 6 consecutive years and has proposed to cut it for 9 consecutive years. I'm talking to SBA executives on a regular basis that tell me that the budget for the SBA has been cut to the extent that they can no longer fulfill their mission. And so I'm convinced that the Bush administration intends to close the SBA, and they will do that by combining it with the Commerce Department under the guise of trying to help small businesses, and over the course of some 2-3-4 year time frame, they will do what's called zeroing out the budget. So the SBA will go from what it was when Bill Clinton left office with a budget of, I think, $1 billion a year and maybe a staff of, I forgot what it was, maybe 6,000. When Bush walks away, he wants it to be probably maybe 300 people and a budget that would be make it unable to perform the mission of the SBA when the Small Business Act was passed in 1951, I believe.
That's a pretty heavy statement that you're making there.
Yep.
And it kind of goes, doesn't that kind of go against sort of conservative public policy tradition, particularly since the Reagan years, which emphasizes the role of the entrepreneurial spirit in American in the American economy. It sort of emphasizes the role of small businesses playing a very intricate role, a very critical role in propping up the American economy. So this kind of flies in the face of that doctrine.
I mean, it does. In fact, quite frankly, I was surprised when I saw it myself. And, you know, anyone can go to the Internet and type in abolish SBA and see these stories pop up. But I think in life it's important to make a differentiation between what people say and what they how they really feel by watching what they do.
Mm-hmm.
So if you look at the Bush administration, the information is out there. It's easy to see that he's cut that agency's budget by over 60%, the staffing and the budget. And I did a Freedom of Information request to the SBA for information on how many employees have been terminated. And I think it's over 3,000. Over 3,000 SBA employees have been terminated since President Bush took office. And there have been 13 federal investigations that have found fraud, abuse, lack of oversight in small business contracting. There have been stories, 400 stories, I believe, in the media on the issue, and yet President Bush and the Republican Congress have done absolutely nothing to stop the abuse. And again, like I said, they're trying to pass loopholes to make it even worse. So, yeah, I'm with you. It does seem to fly in the face, but I think the Republican Party has an image of being pro-business. In reality, they're pro-big business to the detriment of small businesses.
We have one line with this, Lloyd Chapman. He is president and founder of the American Small Business League. He's talking to us from California. What would the Bush administration, what would a Republican Congress, what do they stand to gain from this? I mean, is it what you're saying, that primarily they're just advocates for big business? Is this a sort of also a result of just, you know, heavy lobbying, also heavy, you know, an ongoing influx of campaign contributions from major corporations into primarily GOP coffers?
I would say that's absolutely happening. And in terms of what they've got to gain, if the Republican Congress passes legislation to stop fraud and abuse in small business contracting, the federal government small business program and minority program will evaporate. Without the fraud and abuse, they won't have any numbers. And I think the Republicans don't want to go into the next presidential election with the lowest small and minority-owned contracting numbers in almost in U.S. history. And the Center for Public Integrity, which is a bipartisan, very reputable organization, did a study about 2 years ago that showed that I think the top 10 top 10 defense contractors contributed something like, I think it was like $200 or $300 million in contributions to Congress. So I think anyone that's knows anything about government knows that these large Fortune 500 corporations, their voices are heard very loud in Congress. And you look at who's getting these small business contracts. I've got a report on my desk right now that General Dynamics is getting something like $600 million a year in federal small business contracts. Hmm. And companies like Lockheed and Boeing getting hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars in contracts, in small business contracts. So clearly, they're lobbying Congress very, very heavy. In fact, the White House has hired two or three of the largest public relations firms in the world to sort of keep this story out of the press. That's why people haven't seen it. They've hired, I believe, Fleischman Hillard and Ketchum. It's been reported that they're using to help spin the story and try to make it look like President Bush's pro-small business. In 2004, the White House said it was a victory for America when the government awarded $69 billion to small businesses. And in reality, it was a victory for Fortune 500 corporations because they got about 90% of that money. And small businesses were, you know, cheated out of probably $50 billion or more that year.
I guess conventional wisdom would dictate that, okay, with the upcoming midterm elections, there's a lot of speculation, a lot of hype that Democrats will take over or regain control of the Congress, particularly the House. Will the equation change? I mean, will the winds of change within the SBA, will they go on reverse? You know, will that actually be good for small businesses?
I'm hoping so. Mm-hmm. I'm hoping so. I believe that if the Democrats don't take over the House, that the government's small and minority programs will be eliminated by the end of the Bush presidency. And I'm really hoping that the Democrats will take over the House and people like Nidhi Velasquez, who's currently the ranking member, who's been powerless, I think, to do the things she'd like to do, will become the chairperson of the House Committee on Small Business, and I think she can probably affect some change. But I'm very concerned about that. And the only hope that small businesses have right now, I think, is that the House will go Democratic. And I know I sound like an alarmist, but ABC had a story, you know, 3 or 4 weeks ago in CBS that Rolls-Royce, Microsoft, and Walmart are getting small business contracts. And I think that should be very concerning to people. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when you look at the White House's response, I saw a story in the Chicago Tribune where SBA Administrator Stephen Preston addressed that, and he said it's largely just an accounting problem, that it's not really a matter of large businesses getting contracts meant for small business. It's just the way the contracts are counted, and that's blatantly false. The federal government is hitting its small business goals with these loopholes they've created for Fortune 500 corporations, and every dollar that goes to a large business is a dollar that's not going to a small business. So I actually think that African-American business owners and Hispanic business owners and small business owners should be very, very concerned, because if the Republicans keep control of Congress, again, I can't emphasize strongly enough that I believe that these programs will be eliminated within 24 months.
How would that impact if the Small Business Administration were to close, if suddenly you had the amount of federal dollars going into small businesses were to suddenly disappear? How would that impact specifically African-American owned businesses, or and even Latino businesses as well? You know, just sort of looking at that very unique history of blacks and Latinos in business in this country, how would that impact them?
Well, I would say that there are hundreds, if not thousands, of minority-owned companies up in the D.C. area that specialize in doing business with the federal government. And if the federal government's minority business programs are eliminated, and there are no more minority business contracting goals, I would say that 90% of those firms would probably find themselves out of business. They'd be forced to close their doors.
90%.
I would think so. My understanding is that most of the minority-owned firms in the D.C. area that focus on doing business with the government, that's their primary customer, or in many cases their only customer.
Mm-hmm.
And if the federal government has absolutely no requirement to work with minority-owned companies, they would be forced to be in a head-to-head competition with everyone for government business, and that's going to go to low-bid awards, you know, to some of the largest companies in the country. And I think the minority business would be out of business.
Congressional Black Caucus, very powerful wing within the Democratic Party, within the Democratic House leadership. Black media such as Black Enterprise, BET. Why haven't the red flags been raised? I mean, why haven't alarms started sounding? Particularly, you're seeing the very critical role that small businesses in the African American community play in terms of keeping that community afloat financially and economically. What's the story there?
Well, you say, why hasn't the red flag been raised? That's a good question, and I'm not exactly sure what the answer is. I'll tell you that I went to a couple of hearings in Washington on this issue, and I was shocked to see some minority business leaders supporting programs that I think would put hundreds, if not thousands, of minority-owned companies out of business in the D.C. area. I'm confused by that. But I think another reason is the government is spending $1.2 billion a year in public relations fees. And again, it's been widely reported in the press that President Bush, they've given journalists what they call contracts to do stories, to speak positively about some of the President Bush's programs. I believe an African-American journalist was even given, I think, $240,000 to promote Bush's No Child Left Behind program.
This Armstrong Williams, the money he was receiving from the Department of Education, right?
Another journalist was given a female journalist was given $40,000 to write some stories about the program, the Bush's what was it, the marriage initiative, something like that. So I think you're seeing the Bush administration spend a lot of money in trying to keep this story down. I'm concerned about the Hispanic Chamber of Commerce, for example, which is completely run by Republicans. And, in fact, President Bush's Civil Rights Commission issued a finding that was written about in Black Enterprise, I want to say 6, 7, 8 months ago, that said the government's doing too much business with minorities. And the Hispanic Chamber of Commerce said nothing about it.
And so, there is a National Black Chamber of Commerce as well. What's going on with that?
You know, I'll have to say I'm concerned about that. I believe the president's name is Harry Alford, and I saw an article in Inc. magazine that said Mr. Alford sits on the Republican National Committee African-American Steering Committee. So it looks like Mr. Alford is a Republican. And I've seen a couple of things out of the National Black Chamber of Commerce, but not to the extent that I would think, you know, would be coming out of there. But I'm concerned that there's so many Republicans in leadership roles in small business groups, minority business groups, woman-owned business groups. I believe the founder of WIP, I forgot her name, was just appointed to be head of the U.S. Mint, for example. And you've got organization, I want to say her name is Karen Kerrigan, who's a Republican lobbyist that heads the Small Business and Entrepreneurship Council. So I believe it was March of this year that Inc. magazine did that story about who's your friend in Washington, and they were all Republicans. And quite frankly, in my opinion, there no Republican small business owner, minority or not, should be Republican, because I believe that the Bush administration is the most anti-small business presidency in my lifetime. And again, I look at the 13 federal investigations that have found, you know, extensive fraud and abuse in all federal small business programs, and the Bush administration has done nothing to do that. They've cut the SBA budget more than any president in modern history. I think everyone saw the disaster with the Katrina response at the SBA, and that was because there was nobody working at the SBA to handle that. They had to hire 2,000 temporary people to try to handle that. All the experienced and tenured people had been, you know, terminated.
We have online with us Lloyd Chapman, president and founder of the American Small Business League. We could go on for hours about this, and this is a very fascinating, very alarming topic. And I want to hold you there for another couple of minutes or so. I hope you have another couple of minutes.
Sure.
And I appreciate it. What are some activities that the American Small Business League is currently involved in trying to prevent, you know, this from happening, this which you're sort of describing here as an inevitability? What are some things that you're doing? I understand, you know, you've been, you know, sort of involved in many lawsuits and suing the government for fraud and abuse towards small businesses here in the United States. But what are some other activities that you're involved in as well?
Well, on a daily basis, we're trying to get the story out. We're writing press releases and trying to release them and get the story out in newspapers and magazines and television and radio. We're working with Congress and trying to make them aware of what's going on. We do freedom of information requests almost daily for information that we can use to circulate to the public about what's really happening. And, of course, we're always in court with the government. Right now we're suing NASA and the SBA, and I've almost always got a lawsuit going. And something I think that, again, is surprising to me, but I believe the American Small Business League is the only small business trade group in the country right now that's doing this. I don't think any other group that holds themselves out as representing small businesses is really doing anything like we're doing. I mean, we're in federal court, you know, constantly on this. And my goal is to file a major lawsuit in federal court in Washington and try to get a federal judge to look at what's happening in these areas. And I'm confident that a federal judge will agree with me that Lockheed and Boeing and General Dynamics are not small businesses and shouldn't be anywhere near the government's, you know, small business contracting program. And I think that a federal judge would agree with me that the findings of the General Accounting Office about this Alaska Native Corporation scandal will clearly show that hundreds of millions of dollars in funds that Congress had intended to go to African-American and Hispanic and other minority-owned firms are being diverted to companies that are controlled by you know, Caucasian large businesses. Mm-hmm. So, but I really rely on the litigation because, you know, we've never lost a lawsuit ever. We won our first one back in 1992, and but again, getting the story out is difficult because of the control that the Bush administration has, you know, with the media.
What can small businesses be doing to prevent this?
Well, my best advice to any small business or minority business that does business with the government or prime contractors or wants to have that opportunity in the future would be to go to the American Small Business League website, ASBL.com, and look at the stories. I think there's several hundred stories on there that show people what's happening. We also have all the federal investigations that have found this fraud and abuse. And then people should start talking to their congressmen and their senators. And if they belong to any groups like the Black Chamber of Commerce or the Hispanic Chamber of Commerce or Women Impacting Public Policy or any group, they should start talking to these groups and ask them, what are you doing? What are you doing to prevent the Bush administration from closing the SBA and ending programs for small businesses? And anyone that belongs to the National Federation of Independent Business or the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, I would suggest that they resign immediately. Because if you look on the U.S. Chamber's website and NFIB website, you won't see this mentioned. And they hold themselves out as the largest groups in America representing small businesses. And in the face of 13 investigations, 400 stories, you know, ABC, CBS, they've done nothing, and it's not even mentioned on their website.
We've had online with us Lloyd Chapman. He is founder, he is president of the American Small Business League. For more information, you can go to ASBL.com. Does that have that correct?
That's correct.
To the website, and there's a lot of information there regarding many of the topics, the issues that Mr. Chapman and I discussed this afternoon. Mr. Chapman, thank you for taking time out of a very hectic schedule. This is an issue that we're going to be following very closely, and I expect that you'll be back on regularly.
So well, as we follow this, I appreciate the opportunity to get this message out.
It's a very important issue. Thank you for joining us. You've been online with Ascent Perspectives, part of the blackpolicy.org audio blog network. I'm your senior producer for blackpolicy.org, Charles Ellison, standing in for Peter Groff, who is main host. Check us out later. We are at blackpolicy.org, and also check out Mr. Groff and my analysis. Yesterday, the latest chamber, you can catch that from October 5th at blackpolicy.org on Ascent Chamber, and we'll be back. Bye.